There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
All right, GTR listeners, anybody from the South Florida area, you're welcome to check out a screening of The Messengers, a podcast documentary. This is the first and only screening here in Miami before it goes to iTunes. So it's going to happen May 5th at 7:30. That's Friday, May 5th at 7:30 p.m. at the Manuel Arthimet Theater. That's 900 Southwest 1st Street. For more information, go to gamertagradio.com, and hopefully we'll see you there.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 654. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, Pete is in the house.
Yo, 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 yo.
What's up, man? Paris is not here for this episode. He's on vacation.
Yeah, he's back home in the STP.
Yeah, so he will join us soon, so stay tuned. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag and listen to our past episodes. And also you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so later this week, Thursday, we're going to have a special guest, AJ Mendez. You know AJ, right, Pete?
Not really.
Former wrestling, WWE wrestler. Oh. She's going to be on our show. Yeah, wow. She's going to be on a show to promote her book, Crazy is My Superpower. So I can't wait for that.
So she's no longer wrestling? She's out of wrestling?
No. Oh, she's been out for a very long time.
Really?
Yeah, very long time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Then again, I don't follow wrestling like you and Paris do. So it's, I guess that's different. But wow, that should be a dope show.
Yeah, I'm excited. And plus, I have a couple of listeners that I invited personally, like, hey, you know, send some emails to see if they can ask some questions for AJ. So we have a couple questions from the fans. So that's pretty cool. I'm going to start doing that more in the future. Like when we interview somebody pretty big, invite the community, let them be part of the conversation. Right. I think that's pretty cool. That'll be awesome.
Hmm. Yeah. I think she was at C2E2 this past week, promoting the book as well. So interesting.
Oh, cool. And she's a huge gamer too. Huge video gamer. That's so dope. Yeah. Can't wait for the conversation. So yeah, that interview is coming out this Thursday. Also we're going to have another interview, but I'm going to not mention who it is because I'm still working on that. But that's hopefully sometime next week. Stay tuned on that too. Pete, E3 is coming up. Before we start with our fan mail stuff.
Yeah.
Are you excited? You're pumped or what? Because E3 is just a month away. And I think now for the whole month of May, we should start doing our Miss Lear predictions like last year. Because that was a very popular segment when we did that last year.
I agree. I'd love to do. We got to figure that out. We'll work on that offline for the coming weeks. But I think I think we have enough time to start maybe doing one, maybe two, you know, every other show, like, you know, what are we most looking forward to from, let's say, Bethesda, or what are we most looking for from, I don't know, maybe Telltale, something like that, right?
Yeah,
I think it's about time to start getting back into that rhythm of hyping up E3. I can't wait. I'm getting stoked for the actual event. You know, I'm usually the last one to get stoked. Because that's always been me. I'm always, you know, wait until it's right upon us before we start getting hyped and excited. But I don't know. I think this E3 is going to be a little more different than the previous ones, and I can't wait.
Now, what is it that you're most excited about, you think?
I mean, it's the big elephant in the room. It's Scorpio. Everybody wants to know more. They still haven't had that event, so my prediction is still holding strong.
Still holding. Yes, that is true. That is true.
But yeah, looking forward to finally getting a full unveil and reveal from the folks at Microsoft. See what Phil and Aaron and everybody else has up their sleeve. Is it just hardware? We want games, obviously. You know, that's going to be the bigger kicker for what Microsoft is trying to do with Project Scorpio. So obviously we want to see what they've got up their sleeves. I want to see what Sony has as a reaction. Right? So
yeah,
you know, as opposed to just trying to focus on the big green, I want to see what Big Blue is doing in the background. You know, what is going to be their response to Scorpio? Obviously, PlayStation 4 Pro has been out in the wild. It's been a success, right? It's doing what it was designed. But what does Sony now have in store besides games? Because obviously that's been the big thing for 2016 and 2017, games, right? So what do they have in store as a reaction? Want to see more from Nintendo. See what do they have in store? Like, what other games other than what have been announced? I mean, for the most part, the big ticket items are what has me excited for what Nintendo can do with Switch. Obviously, I got to meet up with you earlier in the week. Got to try my hand at actually physically holding one, because apparently you can't find one in stores.
I have some news about that.
Ooh, interesting.
Yes, yes.
So yeah, I mean, got my chance to play was it Mario Kart 8 before anybody, you know, before most of the other me Mr. Non-Nintendo actually got the chance to play it before a lot of people. So that was pretty cool. So I want to see what else they have, because for me, it's not the arms and stuff like that. It's more the big ticket items. I want to see what the new Mario Galaxy is going to look like. You know, obviously Mario Kart was really cool. I want to see what Splatoon is all about. You know, things like that. Those are Nintendo titles that appeal more to me. I'm not so much for the smaller indie games, because they just don't appeal to me. So that's what I love. That's what I'm looking forward to most.
Well, I've been reading that Best Buy is going to have a new stock of Nintendo Switch this week. I believe either Thursday or Friday. That's going to be in the stores and stuff. So, and also Nintendo Classics is going to be available, I think, Monday.
I thought they stopped production and sales of that.
They stopped production, but they're still sending out shipments to like different retailers. And once that shipment is done, that's it, no more. But Nintendo Switch this Thursday or Friday, it's going to be available at Best Buy, so make sure to go over there if you want one. Man, I gotta tell you this, Pete, I've been playing a lot of the, you know, Nintendo Switch, of course, because of Mario Kart and everything, but I love how Nintendo has been like releasing games not only weekly but twice a week. Mm-hmm. Twice a week, there's a lot more indie games, and the big games like once a month. I think I mean it was very, very smart for them to release Mario Kart a month after Zelda, and now it's ARMS, and then after that I know it's Minecraft coming up, and then Splatoon 2, which is that one's like a big one for the summer. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, of course, Mario Odyssey, that's going to be a big one for the holidays. But what's going to happen from August all the way to November? What about that? You know, so we're probably going to see more games, you know, that's going to get announced during E3, which that honestly, I'm very, very excited about that. And I think a lot of people are sleeping on the sales of Nintendo when it comes to their new console all the way to the holiday season. Right now, everybody's concentrating a lot about Sony and Scorpio and everything. And actually, Pete, Pro has been very successful, but at the end of the day, the Slim has been selling way more than the Pro, of course, because of the price. So I think this is going to be the same thing with Xbox One S. It's going to sell more than Scorpio. You know, this is the cheaper console. People are going to go after that, you know. So, but we'll see at E3. I'm very excited. I love the whole press conference and announcements and everything. Surprises, too, which I'm very excited. So hopefully next month we could do this whole Miss Leo prediction again. That was a lot of fun last year, and we're going to do it again one more time. All right, so it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, so we have a couple questions here and also voicemail. So this is the first one from Michael. Hey, Gamertag, I'm finally caught up. Just listened to your latest episode so I can finally email you guys my questions about current video games and content. Michael, thanks a lot, man. In the words of Paris, so here's the thing. You guys have talked a lot about the fact that Sony has all these exclusive games and Microsoft doesn't. Do you think it's possible that developers are waiting to see the general public reaction to the Scorpio before time and effort into the kind of game Scorpio is meant to play? Microsoft had a rough start in 2013 with Xbox One, which is partly due to lack of games, but the console's internal problems played a major role. Could developers simply be waiting to see if Microsoft can deliver on the internal specs of the Scorpio? It's so close to being a next-gen console, and that might be making them hesitant. Michael, thanks a lot for the question. I think that the reason why Microsoft was having a lot of problems back in 2013, it wasn't because of the games. I think it was more about the price, the communication to the consumers, of course, about Kinect, and it was like a combination of a whole bunch of stuff, but they never, personally, I think Microsoft was doing pretty good when it comes to the games for a while, and it's just now this kind of like a huge question mark. What's going on, you know, with that, with the exclusive new IPs, are we going to see new games that's going to get announced that's coming out this year during E3? That's the big question. Yes, Scorpio is the most powerful console out there, which got P and Paris very excited, but people like me that don't care much about the hardware and the specs, I want to know where's the games. That's what I want to know. So, Pete, what do you think about this question from Michael?
First off, thanks again, Michael, for writing in. I believe it's multiple things that are feeding into it. Yes, you know, the original launch of and it's for the most part has been for most Microsoft developed hardware. There's always been that specter of issues from a hardware perspective. And could it potentially scare a developer? If it's a first party, yes, because it's something that is primarily going to be played or only going to be played on their device. Something from a third party perspective, maybe I would think it would be less, simply because if it doesn't, and obviously we're, you know, All kidding aside, there have been issues in the past with, you know, the Xbox and Xbox One with the Red Ring of Death, and then the Xbox, 360 had the Red Ring of Death. Xbox One had, you know, a couple of hardware issues and hiccups, but for the most part, they get fixed and they move on. With something along the lines of Scorpio, I think because Microsoft has been holding it so close to their vest, I think they may have only been, and again, this is what I'm thinking, I could be completely wrong. Who knows? I'm just some guy that talks on the internet. But it's at the end of the day, Microsoft has to put dev kits in the hands of developers to be able to publish games at launch, shortly after launch, and moving forward. So they can't just throw these at them at E3 and say, okay, we want games on launch day, let's say in November. I'm just throwing out a random month now. So the concept and early dev builds have been in the hands of developers, so they have an idea as to how to do it. Now, coming from a technical perspective, my curiosity plays in the part where, because I'm an IT director in my day job, are developers doing these off of virtual machines, right? Let's develop against a virtual machine that has the same hardware specs as a dev kit. You don't have to physically ship me one. I'll just download it from a Microsoft link and run it virtually and then see if it works like that. If that's the case, fantastic. Makes life easier. You don't have to worry about it. You know, you don't have to worry about shipping stuff and whatnot, it getting lost in the mail. And then some guy in Oklahoma has a dev kit, you know, a year earlier, whatever. But do I think it makes, you know, do I think it makes these type of potential issues a problem? Again, no, because A, the hardware is for the most part similar to what people are doing on a gaming PC anyways, right? So I don't think there's going to be as much difficulty developing for Scorpio as people would have originally thought, because it's using AMD parts, which people and players and gamers already have at hand. They can use something similar. The graphics card is essentially a modified or a custom RX 480. Again, something you can buy off the shelf. Maybe not as readily, but yes, it's something you can buy off the shelf. So at the end of the day, and since it's essentially running on the Xbox One OS, which is Windows 10, Windows 8, Vista, whatever, looking, the, you know, or not Vista, but Windows 8, Windows 10.
Vista.
I know, oh my sorry. God. That was actually Xbox One, or the Xbox 360 was essentially running on something like that. But yeah, it's essentially running on an Xbox OS in the background. It's a very, very stripped down version of it, but it's essentially running a Windows OS. So it's not like they can't, it's not like they're not already, you know, playing on it. There's always going to be that specter of concern of, oh, is there going to be a hardware issue? But developers and publishers have those NDA agreements with the Microsofts and the Sonys and the Nintendos to develop games in anticipation for launch. So I don't think they're waiting. Developers are going to have the specs way more in advance than the consumer and the press and the media. These are just NDA agreements that, you know, that they're bound to, that they can't discuss. So I don't think there's an issue. I don't think it's an issue of the developers waiting. I think it's just developing on it and, you know, just holding it away from the ears or the eyes of the prying media and consumer.
All right. So we're going to play this voicemail from a new caller all the way from Germany.
Hi, my name is Daniel from Dortmund, Germany. First of all, excuse my English and my German accent. I'm hoping I'm doing all right. I'm a huge fan of your show. I'm listening to it since about a year. And lately there have been some discussions about you guys arguing a lot, but I have to say I like it. And I think it's great that you have different opinions and it gets a discussion and argument going, and I like it. Xbox fanboy, which is rare in Germany. It's a PlayStation country. But I have to agree with you guys. I'm really excited for Project Scorpio, but we have to get the games right. And I'm wondering what your opinion is, if there are going to be any new IPs we don't know about yet. I don't talk about Crackdown 3 or Forza or Halo or anything, because I really believe there have to be some new exciting games. Well, keep up the good work. Love listening to you. Have a great day.
So, first of all, thanks. Thanks for the voicemail. That's pretty cool. Getting listeners, international calls from everywhere. That's awesome. So he's excited about Xbox Scorpio. And of course, his country is all about PlayStation, you know. So, but he wants to know, do you think there's going to be any new IPs that's going to get announced during E3? And we talked about this a few minutes ago, but I personally think yes. The question is, what type of new IPs? What games? What is it going to be? A platform? Is it going to be a platform? Is it going to be fighting games or what? Or action, first-person shooters? What? I'm just super curious about that, you know. So, Pete, do you think Microsoft is going to announce new IPs, because they have in the past many times, like Quantum Break, Some people didn't like it. Some people did. It's like in the middle with the feedback with that one, you know? So Scalebound got announced but got canceled. What'd you think?
I mean, we know Crackdown 3 is on the way. We know Forza Horizon is going to be coming soon.
New IPs.
I think that's what's being held close to the vest right now. I think that's what you know Phil is going to potentially drop. We have no clue. I mean, it could be something as subtle as, you know, a game from the original Xbox, you know, Xbox One launch. Hell, it could be who knows? We have no clue what it could be. In an ideal world, yeah, we'll see three new IPs announced and hopefully at or around launch. My concern is the last couple haven't really succeeded as much as we hoped, as much as the hype was there for. Everybody fawned over ReCore. And unfortunately, ReCore didn't succeed as well as they thought or as well as they wanted to. You know, we saw the same thing with the Quantum Breaks, Sunset Overdrive, unfortunately, you know. And that's the gamble you take on new IPs sometimes, right? You don't know.
I agree.
And
that's the
magic question. Just because it's a new IP that hasn't ever been, you know, broached or developed doesn't guarantee it's a success. And that's, I don't know what magic or what black sorcery that Sony's been doing. And they've been able to do it with the Horizon Zero Dawns and you know, going back a couple, you know, a couple over the last couple of years, the Last of Us and Uncharted, titles like that have been uber successes for Sony, A, because they're internally developed or AAA titles or have become the AAA title for them. Does Microsoft have the ability to find them? Absolutely. Do developers want to do a game in a third part or a first party perspective? Yes and no, because yes, you get the cachet of being the exclusive title, but you also limit your sales potential. So obviously that's a business negotiation that's done behind closed doors. We all want new IPs. We all want new games. But not all new games translate into success stories. And in the best of worlds, every new IP is a success, but got to be realistic. Sometimes the ideas don't transform as well from thought to game. And that's the trick that, you know, that's the lottery ticket, you know, that you hope to win. Is it the golden ticket from Willy Wonka's, or is it just a regular ticket and try again later? This one is from Dion. With my tax refund, I've decided to upgrade to a 4K TV and also get a PS4 Pro. I now play on the Xbox One S, but I can get a lot of the older PS4 exclusives for just under $15. So I figured it's a nice time to get a PS4. With E3 just around the corner, do you think I should wait in case of a price drop or new bundles? Thanks for the great shows.
All right, so I'll answer this one. Thanks, Dion, for the email. Of course, the price is going to go down because, you know, Sony knows that Xbox is going to announce Xbox Scorpio and so on. The question is, how much are they going to go, like, when it comes to the price drop? I think it's going to be $50 less compared to when it came out last year. And also the Slim probably going to go down in price, too. That's what I think during E3. So, like Microsoft, they're probably going to do the same. Announce a price drop for the Xbox One S and announce, you know, the official price for Scorpio during E3. So now the question is, when are they going to drop this? I think it's going to happen between like last year, September, October, all the way to like the holidays and stuff. So that's my prediction. Pete?
Yeah, I mean, holiday season is always the best time to get a bundle because that's, you know, when manufacturers want to get as much product out, you know, into the consumer's hands. Will we see a bundle, like a launch bundle for Scorpio potentially? Will we see the other products getting bundles to counter sales? It's possible. I wouldn't be surprised. Just depends on whether, you know, how hot is that fire burning in your wallet? You know, can you hold and wait and see? I mean, the wait and see approach never hurts. It's not like you're going to find it. It's not going to be like Nintendo where you're not going to be able to find it. You'll find it. You know, there's always stock for Xbox and PlayStation hardware in the stores. So mm-hmm. just depends on how deep that fire burns in your wallet and pocket. Can you wait? That's up to you. And depends. I mean, if you're playing now on Xbox One and you haven't had a chance to play some of those exclusives, like the aforementioned Uncharted 4s or Horizon Zero Dawn, now might be a good time to buy them simply to be able to be able to play through those exclusives so that when the E3 and the games comes and the holiday season comes up, you've finished with those gameplays and you can start buying the new games that come out and start to enjoy those as they come out live in real time.
All right. So here's another email. This is from Charles. Hi, GTR crew. I sent an email a few months ago saying that Scorpio should have an option without a controller. And you guys laughed at me. Microsoft could be telling Phil Scorpio has to be $500 or more. And then Phil says we should make a controllerless SKU at launch to save $50. If it's over $400, it's not made for moms to buy. It's for gamers who will understand. Also, the players with the Elite controllers will be the first to buy Scorpio. Please rethink this is a good idea or not. Chuck, aka Xbox Superfan. Charles, thanks for the email. And first of all, that's not going to happen. Scorpio is not going to come out without a controller. That's just ridiculous. Imagine somebody that's buying an Xbox for the first time and they buy the system and there's no controller. Then they have to go out and buy another controller. I think marketing wise, it's just crazy if Microsoft plans to do this. I don't see that happening. Pete, your thoughts?
I agree. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's the wrong message to send to consumers that, hey, here's a device and a purported all-in-one go home plug and play. Oh, but when you go to buy it, you have to also buy this. And then you got to, you know, if you're going to be on Xbox Live, then you got to pay for that. It's the wrong message to send to consumers, especially with all of the damage control that Phil has successfully done since he came on board at Microsoft. The last mm-hmm. thing you want to do is throw that confusion. I don't think, you know, as people have tried to say on the internet that the Elite controller is going to be included in there. I don't think that's the right, I don't think it's going to happen. Would it be the wrong thing to do? No. I mean, I think it would be pretty cool to have the Elite Xbox console with an Elite controller. I think that would be a cool packaging. Whether it actually happens or not, I don't know. That would just devalue, I think, in my personal opinion, what Scorpio's price tag would be, considering it's a $150 controller. That would essentially make it a $350 Elite console. So I don't think you'll see that bundled in there. So yeah, unfortunately, Chuck, I think you're going to be wrong on this.
Big time, big time. All right, so we'll play another voicemail. This is from McCullough, all the way from Orlando.
Hey there, Gamertag Radio. This is Brandon from Orlando. On your episode 649, you guys talked about how they were going to showcase Scorpio's power during E3. Personally, I think that they should do it through Halo 5 and specifically the Forge mode, because you have to remember, they're going to be showing this to a wide audience. A lot of people, even though the number of people who have 4K TVs is on the rise, there's still not enough, realistically, to showcase the real visual performance difference between 1080p 60fps and 4K FPS. 4K 60fps.
All right, so they should show, Microsoft should show Halo game at E3 to so people can see the power of the Scorpio, which I think that they are going to show it maybe towards the end of the press conference. They probably could do that and to promote the Scorpio and just focus on other titles and new IPs that's get announced during E3 and save that at the end with Halo. I think that would be a great move. you know, going back years back, I remember I was at a Microsoft press conference. Actually, it was Peter Moore that was hosting the event, and Bill Gates also showed up at the end, and they showed Halo 3 for the first time, the trailer. That was, to me, my favorite Halo trailer ever. And that's how you do it, right at the end. They're like, oh yeah, we have one more thing, and just show the trailer and just end the press conference like that. I think that's, to me, is better than just putting it first. It's like, to me, it's like man, we don't have enough content. Let me just put it first instead of having it at the end, you know. So that's what I think, Pete.
I think they're going to start, I think they're gonna go off with Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor. I think that's I think that would be a really, really strong message, and a great environmental game to be able to show what Scorpio can do. I think other titles we're definitely going to see, or obviously they're going to be their first party game. So we're going to see Gears 4 in 4K glory on the screen. We're going to obviously see Forza. I mean, in an ideal world, and obviously we're going to see Crackdown 3, I think, as well, because it's getting closer and closer to their potential launch. I would love to see Project Gotham Racing come back, but because they already have Forza as their primary racer, I don't think there would be anything. Although, I guess in an ideal world, what I was going to say was, you know, like a Forza Project Gotham.
That's not going to come back.
I know. I've been drinking coffee, and I think the caffeine just hit me now.
Yeah.
But I think that's, those are going to be the titles that really, really showcase what Scorpio can do. So I think, you know, that that first party lineup of Forza, Crackdown 3, Gears 4, you know, in 4K, and then Shadow of Mordor. I just think the environmental effects alone of what Monolith can showcase on a screen with the history and lore of everything in that experience of Mordor. It's just going to be insane. I think it's going to be a really, really, really good opportunity for them to just showcase, here's what it can do, here's what it's going to look like. Enjoy.
I personally think that if Microsoft really wants to start with a bang, something huge and big, either announce a game that nobody had no clue that was coming out, like, let's say, for example, Perfect Dark, a new Perfect Dark game, first announcement, boom, or a new IP that if they're confident to show something strong and big, and at the same time show the power of the Scorpio, they should show something new. If they show something like first, like Halo and games that people already know, I don't know. I think that's, to me, it's like the easy way. Show something big first, and then all those games that we already know, show it later during the press conference. Remember, they have 90 minutes to change our minds and to convince us to buy the Scorpio. So I think that personally, that's what they should do. All right, so so you're going to say something?
No, I was going to say one last one that just popped up into my head. State of Decay 2, maybe?
That's a good one.
Did that already come out?
But not first. Not yet. It's coming out later this year, but that's a first game?
No. I think they're going to come out with the ones that we already expect. It's the ones that we don't know that I think they're going to hold off to the end just to go out with a bang. You don't want to blow that load at the beginning of the show, and then everything is you know, a slow taper down. No, you want to hype it up with everything that people are knowing but haven't seen a lot of, and then at the end is when you drop that big unknown that nobody was aware of, that only like three people at Microsoft were aware of, that Phil, Aaron, and one other person knew. But, you know, that's it. And then you drop that, and then everybody walks out of that press conference like, wow, was not expecting that. And then that becomes the talking point for the next, you know, 2-3 hours on Twitter.
All right. So, Pete, we have a sponsor for this week, right? For this episode?
Yes, we do. Sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger fried rice. Parmesan crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli. I mean, that sounds good, right? That sounds like something you would want to eat. And it's meals like these that make Blue Apron the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron provides you with an amazing variety of meals that you can select or get a grab bag of sorts selected by the Blue Apron culinary team. Either way, each meal you receive from Blue Apron comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients, and the typical meal takes anywhere from 40 to 45 minutes. Time is money, and not only do you save time by not having to go to the store, but for less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers great-tasting, seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've bought a bunch of cilantro parsley for a meal and only used a little bit of it, and the rest of it ends up in the garbage. So you're saving time and money, and you get a great meal all at the same time. So all you got to do, check out this week's menu, get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/gamertag. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/gamertag. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Thanks, Blue Apron, for being the sponsor for this episode.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so let's play another voicemail. Again, this is about Scorpio. Let's play right now.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio? It's Benny Corona. Everybody's talking Scorpio. I'm going to try to be plain out about it is the point I'm trying to make. Hopefully you guys follow what I'm going to be asking here. Scorpio. A lot of people think it's a next-gen console. It's just considerably more powerful than Xbox One traditional version or the S. Microsoft keeps insisting it's still part of this generation. It will be called Xbox One something. I think we all can agree with that. But what if what Microsoft is doing and what they're so proud of in designing Scorpio as far as the hardware is concerned, is upgradability. Not for us, the consumer. It's a console, it's a closed platform. We're not going to be upgrading anything. But for Microsoft, when Sony finally unleashes PlayStation 5 and however many teraflops it can do, Microsoft can take the base hardware that has already been in manufacturing, and as time goes on, those costs come down to manufacture the system, and upgrade it. Call it something else, the next variation of the Xbox, Xbox 8K or whatever. But to go toe-to-toe with the PlayStation 5, they upgrade the RAM, they upgrade the GPU and the CPU. Not too unlike what Nintendo did when they upgraded from GameCube to the Wii. Hollywood and Gecko, the CPU, GPU were the same. They just clocked them at a higher speed and increased the RAM and essentially resold us a GameCube with the DVD drive and motion controls. And they did the same thing when they upgraded to the Wii U, third generation GameCube, GPU, CPU, and again, an increase in RAM and another disk control method. But still, for the hardware side, they pretty much were third generation, and they kept doing this upgradability. Maybe Microsoft is using Scorpio not necessarily as next-gen now, but next-gen for potential upgradability of that base hardware. And then when the true next-gen comes, Sony comes out with the PS5 and announces specs or whatever, all Microsoft has to do is say, we were ready for this. This is why we're so proud of Scorpio and why we made it so powerful in the first place, so developers can get accustomed to running 4K 60-frame graphics engines, still be part of last gen, but be ready for true next gen. And since they're already familiar with our hardware, by increasing our RAM, our GPU, CPU, repackaging Scorpio as another Xbox for the next generation, it might work out. Tell me what you guys think. Let me know.
Okay, yeah. So what Benny was essentially saying is it's going to be an upgradable closed system. But isn't that essentially what every other console has been since day one? It's been an upgrade of the previous component. Like, you know, PlayStation, you know, 4 and then PlayStation 4 Pro. And then here we have Xbox One and Xbox One S and then Scorpio. As we've said, and Ledbetter said this as well on Digital Foundry when they were able to announce the specs for Scorpio. Mm-hmm. In comparison to the original Xbox One that launched in 2013, Scorpio is a full leap. It is in my eyes, and I think in Ledbetter's opinion as well, it is the next gen to the Microsoft platform. If you try to compare it to what PS4 Pro did last year when they launched, then yeah, you can say that it's a mid-gen or mid-generational jump. I disagree with what Benny is saying, in my personal opinion, simply because what Microsoft did with Scorpio is unlike what they did with the original Xbox One. In Xbox One, they were thinking 2 years back. So when it was up on the drawing board, we're talking 2011 specs, hardware specs. And then they eventually launched with those same 2011 hardware specs in 2013. So when they came to market, they were already behind from a hardware power performance perspective. Whereas now with Scorpio, they're taking 2017 hardware specs. While yes, this may have been in the design phase for the last couple of years, we're talking 2017 specs releasing in 2017. So you're not coming out of the gate already underpowered. So by staying current with current gen hardware, it's what is allowing Microsoft to say and hopefully do this 4K gaming stuff when it launches. And, you know, from everything we've seen so far, as long as you're in that first party realm, you're going to be able to take full advantage of all of that hardware. The question is going to be the third party games. Are they going to be able to, are they going to want to have to develop extra to be able to deliver that 4K performance across the board for all of their titles?
Mm-hmm. And remember too, if we don't see a game, like let's say a third party game that get announced during the Microsoft press conference, remember sometimes companies like Ubisoft, Bethesda, EA and so on, they like to save those big announcements for their press conference too. So we have to wait a couple more days to see if we're going to see any games that probably Microsoft has a marketing deal with that's going to get announced during their press conference, like let's the third-party conferences and stuff. So yeah, Pete, you want to read another email?
Yes. Let's go to... I know I'm going to butcher your name, but I'm going to do my best. Hi, GTR. My PC is dying, and I'm planning to buy a new one. I'm thinking of buying a gaming PC, although I'm more of a console guy, but I rarely play my Xbox One. Should I get a decent PC and get the Scorpio, or should I just jump to the PC Master Race? P.S. I don't know why, but when Danny interrupts, I think of the Toasty guy from Mortal Kombat. Just saying.
Toasty!
Keep up the great work. Yabsum from Puerto Rico.
Thanks for the email, man.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Really wish Paris was here for this one, obviously, because you know him and I we like to wear the PC Mustard Race cape. It depends on what your financial situation basically stands. As Paris and I have said, there's no real reason to jump to Scorpio if you have an existing gaming PC. The only concern would be who and where you want to play. So if what you play is a lot of multiplayers and a lot of your friends are online on Xbox One, it may make more sense for you to go get a Scorpio, unless Microsoft says, yeah, we're going to allow you to do that whole PC, Xbox One, or Scorpio in this case, and be allowed to share your friends list and play. I don't think it's going to happen. And if it does, it's not going to be upon launch. If you don't care and you know you just want to make that full leap, gaming PC is going to be where it's at. Now, you're not going to get a gaming PC for the cost of what we think Scorpio is going to be, and until Phil actually says those numbers, whether it be at an event prior to it leaks or what have you. Granted, there was an alleged leak that came out earlier this week in Europe saying that it was going to be about £400. So if it is $400 US, it's going to be sketchy. But again, rumor, speculation, advertising and marketing leaks, you know, aside, until it comes out of the mouth of Phil Spencer or somebody that, you know, with an @microsoft.com email address at work. I think, you know, price discussions are a moot point almost at this point. Again, it's depends on how much you want to spend and what kind of and what gaming environment you like. If you prefer playing on console, and where you're going to spend a majority of the time is on a console, then just get a console. It just, whatever's going to fit you the best. Me, I'm blessed enough to be able to enjoy all of them. So it doesn't matter if I'm on PC, I can jump on Xbox. And like I was doing this weekend, had a chance to play the new Ghost Recon Wildlands DLC with my friends. I can jump on PC and play, or if I want to play on Destiny, I can jump on and play on Greatness with Khalif and in Paris and everybody else. So it just depends on where you think or where you plan on spending the most amount of your time. If it's going to be on console, then wait for Scorpio. If you want to jump on PC and do that, jump on PC. The choice is yours. Wow. Did I just, yeah. I just pulled a black sheep reference out.
the choice. Choice.
The choice is yours. All right.
Choice is yours. So we're going to go the next topic, Pete, because this is a big one that's coming out, that's happening this week, is the reveal trailer of the new Call of Duty game. And we've been talking about this now for a couple of weeks. So it's official. They're taking it back old school. World War II?
Yep. Yeah, it's funny. Somebody posted a picture of the comparison of, I think it was Brother in Arms, the original cover from like 2007 or something like that. And
yeah,
the World War II logo, and they look exactly the same.
The same exact. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But you know, as Paris likes to call it the GOAT of multiplayer. I'm not yet. I want to see more. I want to see gameplay. I want to see what it's all about. I don't know. I skipped out on the last Call of Duty, which is the first thing that's the first time that's happened since Call of Duty. God, I can't even remember. I want to go back to 2007 was the last time I skipped out. Not 2000. I don't know. That's how long it is. I can't even remember. We're talking 10 plus years back was the last time I skipped out on a Call of Duty title. And then obviously for Infinite Warfare, I skipped out. I don't know. I want to see more. I can't just go off of cover art and a logo to determine that.
My question to you is, I mean, you've always been a fan of Sledgehammer games.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to play their last Call of Duty game?
Was that Advanced Warfare?
Was it? I can't remember. Oh, yeah, it was Advanced Warfare. That was in 2014.
Yes, I want to say I did.
And which got like positive reviews. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't horrible. It was great. Kind of great reviews.
It wasn't like I spent a lot of time on it. Like I played it, and obviously Modern Warfare 3 was their game before that. And if you really want to go back, that's all been Glenn Schofield, who originally was behind Dead Space. So you know, I have an affinity for what Glenn is and what his teams can do, and obviously now that he's opened up his own shop at Sledgehammer and being and dropping Modern Warfare 3 and then Advanced Warfighter just was kind of, in my personal opinion, the decline of just the whole Call of Duty space, and I think that might have been where that tailspin for me personally on being the Call of Duty fanboy started happening. Obviously nobody wants to see failure. Everybody wants to only have successes. And if you follow along to any of the people like Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary VAK, on the internet, you'll quickly learn it's really, really hard to be a success. A lot of times there's a lot of failure that builds you up before you get to the success. And sometimes titles like Call of Duty need that drop. You know, they need that kick in the gut or other nether regions to put perspective on where you've been and where you're at and what you're doing, to give you an opportunity to say, you know what? And I'm not saying it was a failure, because apparently it's sold like hotcakes. So to the investors, you know, they loved it. But from a Call of Duty fan perspective, a lot of people started falling off from, you know, Advanced Warfare, Infinite Warfare. Hopefully this is the right kick in the pants for the title, for the IP in general to say, you know what? Mm-hmm. We understand we did this. It was a success. It wasn't as successful as we thought. Let's do a reboot and start it over. It's kind of like what movies in Hollywood is doing, but unfortunately they've been choosing the wrong movies to do. But hopefully this is enough for them to just say, you know what? Let's course correct and do what we should have been doing with this title. So I'm hoping for the best. I hope what Sledgehammer can do, because we've seen the success that they can do. We know they can do it. Can they deliver? And that's what we're hoping for.
I mean, it's good that we get to see something different, because they've been focused on the whole futuristic FPS since, I believe, Black Ops 2. That was in 2012.
Yep.
So I think this is good. This is a good change, man. You know, take it back to its roots. And hopefully this will get people hype and excited about the game, and they'll go back and play Call of Duty one more time, man. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. So they're going to have a live stream this Wednesday. So make sure for more detail, go to the Call of Duty official website and you get all the 411. So it's this Wednesday, April 26th. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. Thanks, everybody, for sending us questions and voicemails, emails, all that stuff. So keep it up. Continue sending us emails. And next month, of course, we're going to start doing the whole Miss Leo predictions. Every episode, we're going to have a new prediction. The first one, we could start maybe the big three, you think, P? Or we could start with the third-party companies? I mean, it's up to you guys. It's up to you in Paris. I don't mind.
Let's think about it. Let's surprise the listener, and we'll go from there.
All right, we'll do that. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes, and you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
This Thursday, we're going to have an interview with AJ Mendez. Stay tuned. She's going to be promoting her book, Crazy is My Superpower. And it's going to be a very interesting interview. I can't wait for that. And P, anything else before we wrap it up?
That's about it, man.
All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.